This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Senate State Affairs will come to order. There's Senate. Boys, sooner or later I'll get it right. I thought I was going to do it today. I got the Senate part down now. Senate Ag Committee will come to order. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bradford. Garnas.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Klocek. Maher.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
Howie.
Here.
Horoden.
Here. Quorum is present. You have received a copy of the minutes from the last meeting. Any motion regarding those minutes? Any additions or corrections? Motion to approve by Howie. Seconded by Garnos. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting minutes are approved. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Senate Ag Committee. Remind you to, if you have cell phones, to set them on the appropriate setting. Also, if you plan on testifying or speaking before the committee today, we'd ask that you sign in at the roster in front. With that, we have a fairly brief agenda today. We have some confirmations to make and then a briefing from Secretary Perner from the DENR. And I'd also like to introduce the pages for today. We have Mariah Potts from Gettysburg. She's gone? Okay. And so you must be Amy Miles from Pierre. Okay. Welcome. With that, we will take up today's agenda. First up, we have a confirmation of the reappointment of Mike Authier from Lyman County, Vivian, South Dakota, to the Game, Fish, and Parks. Any comments? Any comments or questions from the committee?
Question.
Representative Howie, or Senator Howie.
Just wondering if he if he's in favor of hunting mountain lions with dogs.
Any comments from anybody in the audience as to this confirmation? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to confirm the reappointment of author Mike Authier. Senator Garnos.
I would make that motion to reappoint Mike Authier, Vivian, South Dakota.
Motion by Senator Garnos, second by Senator Howie. Comments on that motion?
Real quickly, Mr. Chair.
Senator Garnos.
I've known Mike and his family for a number of years, a great family, great person. He's one of the people that I always call him the godfather of the pheasant business down in Lyman County. He started in the mid-1980s, and he is just a tremendous business person, just nicest guy you'll ever meet, and I think he's very knowledgeable and would add and continue to add to having a, you know, he's a great resource to have on the committee. So that being said.
Thank you, Senator Garnos. Any other comments? Seeing none, then the motion is to the confirmation of the reappointment Mike Authier to the Commission on the Game, Fish, and Parks. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnas.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klocek. Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion passes. Confirmation of Mike Authier to the Commission on the Game, Fish, and Parks. That will bring us next to the confirmation of the reappointment of Timothy Kessler from Brown County, Aberdeen, South Dakota, to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. Comments or questions? Seeing none, is there action from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the reappointment of Tim Kessler to the Game, Fish, and Parks, please.
Motion by Senator Hansen. Seconded by Senator Bradford. Comments on that motion? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Kessler family in Aberdeen is very well known in all of northern South Dakota, and I think Tim is into the third generation of a very successful family in the grocery business and has expanded out from there. And I've also been able to get acquainted with him, see him on the Game Fish and Parks Commission. They happen to own some land that's used for hunting privileges quite close to my hometown, and I think he's been a good example of good stewardship of the land and the game management, and also just a good citizen.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the motion then is a confirmation, the reappointment of Timothy Kessler. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnas.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klocek. Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion carries. Confirmation of the reappointment of Timothy Kessler. That will bring us now to the confirmation of the reappointment of James McMahon, Canton, Lincoln County, South Dakota, to the Game, Fish, and Parks. Comments or questions from the committee or members of the audience? Seeing none, we will open to action from the committee. Motion by Senator Howey to make the confirmation for the appointment. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Senator Valley. Comments on that motion? Any comments? Seeing none, the motion then is the confirmation of James McMahon. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bradford.
Aye.
Garnas.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Klocek. Maher.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Howie.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye. Motion passes. Confirmation is made. It's also my understanding that we have Mr. Jeff Olson with us today, and that you will be up for confirmation. Your confirmation is on the governor's desk, I understand it. And we're glad to have you today, and I wanted to open it up if you had any comments to this committee, since you probably won't be here when we officially make the confirmation. But if you have any comments for the committee, or if the committee has any questions or comments they'd like to make to Mr. Olson, I would welcome them at this time. Anything? Senator Valley.
If you would, I would turn the Game Fish and Parks Commission appointee. Is that what we're?
Yes. Mr. Olson, would you want to just step up here? Mr. Olson, maybe you could just tell us just briefly where you're from and how long you've been on the commission. And
I just finished my first 4 years on the commission. It's been enjoyable. I'm a dentist in Rapid City. I was 21 years, born and raised in the Black Hills. Past president of some conservation groups, Black Hills Sportsman's Club. I chair the South Coast Sportsman Against Hunger Program now. National Wild Turkey Federation has been involved in other groups in conservation. And I love this job.
Senator Valley, do you have any?
One, I just want to thank you for being here. It's kind of nice to have a face of the individual that's being reappointed. Since I'm a new senator, I was on the other side. We don't have this privilege in the House. So I do have just one question, and it's what do you see as the biggest challenge of the Game, Fish, and Parks in the coming years?
License sales and our budget is level, and I don't know if this recession is going to really solve that. That's always good. Keeping people in the sport, the hunting and fishing in the future, is what funds the program. So I think that's important. And to do that, part of it is providing access to everybody. Public access to hunting and fishing, and of course, habitat comes along with that, high quality wildlife.
Senator Howey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad to see you here today. It's a good opportunity for us to put a face on the name. And I'm curious, you know, there's been a lot of discussion over the last several years with regard to access, which obviously is a concern that you have and many of the rest of us, and habitat. I'm curious to know just what your thoughts are with regard to how landowners play a part in that, and how the Game and Fish could better engage landowners and create an even better environment for a partnership between landowners and sportsmen.
Besides our public lands and our Forest Service and those kind of things. But, it'd be nice to get more funding for walk-in habitat programs on private land and work with the landowners. And I think we do a fair job of that, but that's something we need to work on always. I think our walk-in program is the best. Some of our other programs, just in appropriations, talking about funding some of those programs. And proper funding can really help for habitat and all that. And just everything we do, I think we do a fair job of working with the landowner on depredation complaints and all those things. But there's always work to do.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Any other comments from the committee? Seeing none, we will move on.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will open the floor now to a briefing by Secretary Steve Perner from the DNR.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. I think the first order of business would be to, I think I know most of the members of this committee, but just quickly give you a thumbnail sketch of myself. I'm originally from Rapid City, South Dakota. I have a bachelor's and master's degree in civil engineering from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, and I've been with the department since 1979. We have just two divisions within the department. We've got the Division of Technical or Financial and Technical Assistance and the Division of Environmental Services. And I've got both those division directors here with me today, and I'll allow them.
My name is Tim Collins, and I'm the Director of Environmental Services.
And we've also got Joanna Nechek, who's our staff attorney and is one of the monitors of the committee. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I thought what we'd do today is to give you a quick overview of the department, just walk our way through this handout that you've been provided. With this handout, I'm going to try to do two things really quick. One is to try to give you a sense of what's the status of the environment is here in South Dakota, or at least that we perceive it, and also what the department's activities and functions are in working with environmental and natural resource protection. We're going to talk about land, water, and air. If you go to slides 3 and 4 on the second page, you'll see those are some of the activities that we deal with in protecting our land, solid waste disposal, mineral development, and spill cleanup. For example, in solid waste, we're happy to report to you that South Dakota is in full compliance with federal EPA, federal solid waste rules. We have about 250 permitted solid waste disposal sites across the state. Most of those are limited in what they can take. We've got 15 regional landfills that are permitted under the and meet federal guidelines for the disposal of all municipal solid waste. And the slide on slide 5 shows you the location of those landfills. In terms of mineral development, we've got over 2,000 licensed sand and gravel sites, 71 producing gas wells, 153 oil wells, 43 mine permits for gold, granite, and other minerals. In terms of trends in mineral development, the slide on slide 7 shows that our gold mining is in a decline. Wharf is still the only gold mine that's operation. Last year, 2007, they produced over 57,000 ounces, so they're still doing pretty well. Homestake, of course, it was an operation for 125 years, finally closed, and now the Science and Technology Authority is working to convert that into an underground lab. All of our other gold mines are in various stages of reclamation, to include the Rome mine site, which is an EPA Superfund site. always talk about the Brome mine site because there are some consequences to the state with that cleanup. While EPA is involved with the cleanup, we're liable for 10% match. But probably even more serious to us is once EPA finishes the cleanup and leaves, then the state is 100% liable for the site to maintain operation, maintenance, and water treatment. The environmental issue with the Brome mine site is acid mine drainage. EPA has capped what's called the Ruby waste rock dump. You'll see on slide 9 a picture of them laying down the plastic, and over that was soil and earth and vegetative cover. The purpose of that cap is to try to minimize the air and water that reaches the waste rock, because once water reaches the waste rock, then it turns to sulfuric gas. That's the environmental issue. You look at slide 10, that green area that's terraced off to the right, that is the Ruby waste rock dump, and that's been reclaimed. However, the other colored areas on the mine site still cleaned up and reclaimed. EPA has recently completed their feasibility study to do the entire site, and they've estimated their overall cost to be in excess of $50 million. Consequently, this cleanup will continue on for a long time out into the future. As far as trends in other mineral development, if you're dealing with an energy mineral, there we see an increased trend. Oil is up, gas is up, uranium is starting again. You'll see on slide 12, oil production in the state is increasing. Most of that oil production takes place in the northwest corner of the state. Down in the southwest corner, we've issued the first uranium exploration permit that we've issued in 20 to 25 years. Last year, Power Tech is the name of the company, and they're doing exploratory drilling in Fall River and Custer counties for uranium. In terms of the last land protection activity that we do is cleanups. There's about 250 spills per year reported to us. Our job is to try to find the responsible party and make the responsible party clean that up as quickly as possible to protect public health and the environment. Responsible party either cannot or will not clean up. We do have two funds that have been established by the legislature that provide a safety net when needed. One of those is the Regulated Substance Response Fund, and the other is the Environmental Livestock Cleanup Fund. Slide 15 shows what a typical spill might be where a truck overturns. You'll see it on slide 16 that historically 94% of our spills have been cleaned up and closed out. That's a very good track record and definitely protective again, public health and environment. Now moving from land into water, DNR operates programs to protect both ground and surface water, and we work with both water quality and water quantity. The maps that you see on slides 19 through 22 show the monitoring networks that we use to track long-term trends. Water resources in South Dakota. For example, slide 19 shows our groundwater quality monitoring network. Those are all shallow aquifers where we're tracking the trends. Slide 20 shows what we call our observation well network, where we're tracking long-term trends and water levels of our aquifers across the state. Slide 21 shows our surface water quality monitoring network, and slide 22 shows our stream gauge. Contract with the United States Geological Survey and have them operate on a cost share basis. We're collecting a lot of data in terms of water. What does that data tell us? Well, in South Dakota, as far as surface water quantity, we have almost 10,000 miles of streams, but about 80% of those can be intermittent, so we are an arid state. In terms of surface water quality, our quality of our surface waters is generally good. We generally meet all the standards for fisheries and wildlife. Where we have surface water quality problems, it's either excessive sedimentation, excessive fecal coliform bacteria, or excessive nutrients such as phosphorus and nitrogen, especially in our shallow prairie lakes and East River. In terms of groundwater quantity, there our shallow aquifers, which are generally good quality, are somewhat limited. But we have a lot of deeper aquifers. Consequently, in groundwater, it's quantity-wise, we're in pretty good shape. We've only got 3 aquifers in the state that have been declared by the Board of Water Management to be fully appropriated over on Beaver Creek County. In terms of groundwater quality, again, we're seeing really, especially in our shallow aquifers, no increasing trend in nitrogen levels, which is good, and very few detectable levels of pesticides, which is very, very good. How do we protect that water quality? Well, we've issued over 4,000 discharge permits across the state. 379 of those permits have been issued to what we call concentrated animal feeding operations. Larger operations that are like over 1,000 head. We're very, very proud of the fact that we've had 379 of those operators go in and design, construct, and are now operating the newer management systems and nutrient management systems that are in full compliance with the water protection requirements in those permits. We also complete what's called total maximum daily loads. This is where we have surface waters that are not consistently meeting the standards, such as for sediment or fecal coliform that I talked about. The Federal Clean Water Act requires us to go in and monitor those basins, find the cause of those problems, and find solutions to them. And finally, we provide financial assistance for water quality improvement projects through the governor's omnibus water funding bill that the legislature hears each and every year, and EPA funds. Slide 25 shows some of those water quality improvement projects that are going on, either in the assessment phase or in an actual implementation phase. You can see on that map that we've got a fair portion of the state either covered or will be covered through water quality improvement project. We also regulate water use in terms of appropriation. State water law that the legislature has passed, the prior appropriation document in South Dakota. We've got more than 7,000 active water rights on the books. Slides 27 and 28 show water use in terms of both surface water and groundwater. You'll see that irrigation is the biggest water use in South Dakota, followed by the municipal and industrial use. Most of that municipal use is for drinking water systems. Slide 30 shows all the groundwater wells, surface water intakes that are used by those public water supply systems. There's about 700 of them. And again, we regulate to make sure that the drinking water that they supply is safe and meets state and federal standards. Now, the thing that's really changing in terms of drinking water supplies is shown on slide 31, and that's the expansion of our rural or regional water systems in the state. Now, not all those systems are complete yet. Perkins County is still under construction. Miniwichonee hasn't finished up on the Pine Ridge and some of the reservations yet. Southern Black Hills is still essentially in the design stage. Lewis and Clark, through all of southeastern corner of South Dakota, is still under construction. But really, the bottom line here, the moral of this story is that as these rural water systems continue to expand, they're definitely bringing a high-quality, reliable source of water to people across the state, and they're definitely improving the quality of life. Plus, once rural water gets to an area, it definitely lays the foundation for increased growth. So rural water systems will continue to be a high priority for the department. Now, switching from water to air, slide 33 shows that South Dakota is one of only 13 states in the nation that meet all federal clean air quality standards all across the state. Very proud of that fact. How do we know we're meeting all those standards? Well, we operate an air monitoring network that's shown on slide 35.
Are we going to be, are we stuck then over the long term for $5 million of that? And then secondly, do you have any idea what the costs, ongoing costs of that are going to be? And my third part of that is how much did the bonding that they had take care of?
Mr. Chairman, you've asked a lot of questions.
Sorry.
First one would be of the $50 million cleanup cost, we are going to be responsible for 10%. So the answer would be yes, $5 million. Again, that's going to be over a long period of time because EPA doesn't have the money to do it all at one time. It's going to phase over a long period of time. Secondly, you asked how much bond did they have, I think? Was that your question?
The long term. You know, when it's turned over to us, do we have any idea what those costs are going to be?
Yes. Basically, we don't, at this time, we don't know. The long term environmental issue will remain the same. That is, that rock is essentially acid forming rock. Mm-hmm. So, any acid mine production or drainage that forms and occurs, that water has to be collected, treated, and then discharged, treated to meet stream standards of discharge. Basically, the cleanup, if you will, goal is to minimize the production of acid mine drainage. That's why on the picture that you saw with them covering the waste rock dump, eliminate as much water and air from coming into contact with that rock as possible. The dump, I think our estimate is they reduced acid mine production by about 60%. I think that's about over from the overall site, because that was a major acid-producing section. So once they're all done, the question is how much acid mine drainage will still be. Our long-term costs, I think, are going to be related directly to that question. That's why we're trying to get EPA to do everything it can to minimize the production of acid mine drainage, because that means, obviously, less water then that we have to treat over the long term. So right now, I mean, we just simply don't know how much we're going to be able to reduce it. In terms of how to pay for all that, so far, we've paid our match, some from the Regulated Substance Response Fund, which is one of the safety net provisions that I talked about. We paid some from the Brome bond. When Brome went bankrupt, we had about $6 million from it. We spent, I don't remember, $1 million of that. That's actually increased now with interest back to about $6 million, about that original figure. I guess part of our hope is over the long term, the Brome bond will continue to generate interest. Regulated Substance Response Fund will continue to generate interest. Hopefully we don't have to use that for too many other projects. Hopefully, at the end of the day, we can fund that long-term operation maintenance out of those two accounts. But whether or not, you know, that happens or we're successful in that remains to be seen. That's our target, if you will.
It does. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr.
Other questions from the committee? Senator Bradford.
I have about the same amount. I'll just quickly, some of them you can answer real fast. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On your regional landfills, I take a look at my district and the district next to me, and I see no landfills in that whole big area. I wonder what are my counties doing there in disposals?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
One of the things that EPA limits the state's jurisdiction on are the tribal lands. What they've said, and whenever they publish, for example, a rule that they give us, for example, in solid waste, and they published the federal notice that gave us authority to basically implement the federal solid waste rules in South Dakota, they specifically exclude all Indian land. They say we don't have jurisdiction, and so consequently that's a matter for EPA and the tribal governments, and that's why we don't show them what's going on in
Well, I somewhat understand that, but you got to look at Jackson County and Haakon County and Jones County and Bennett County and Millett County, and they're not considered reservation, and I see nothing within miles of them for a landfill. I wonder what those people do. Is there small landfills? Are they okayed? Then?
Ms. Burr.
A lot of those would come probably from here. Essentially, in the state level, we have two classes, if you will, general classes of land. So we've got small sites, like what we call restricted use sites, where tree disposal, some construction debris, some of that kind of stuff can be permitted and then taken to those sites. In terms of municipal solid waste, that's what would come out of the households. That has to go to one of these regional landfills either that we have or that the tribal governments operate.
Senator Bradford, you have another question?
Follow up. And the other thing I was wondering about is on the uranium on page slide 13 and 14, are you doing a very close monitoring of what there's quite a bit of concern, I'll tell you straight out, that our waters on the reservation is affected. We have a high amount of cancer in certain areas, and as they think it might be pertain to water. So we're very concerned about that. I wondered if do you monitor that pretty close?
Secretary Berner.
Yes, sir. There's a couple of different aspects of that that we're involved with. One is a couple of years ago, the state tribal all our regulated public drinking water supplies have to monitor for certain radioactive elements. So we've looked at all that data. Back 2 years ago when that State Tribal Relations Committee talked to us, we also then went to the Department of Health and had them look at cancer issues, especially again West River, with the old uranium sites are up in the northwest corner. Southwest corner, basically two different areas. And they looked at that and did not, their study concluded that at least at this point with available data, there was nothing to indicate abnormal cancer rates. So, and that report we can make available to you if you want. The other thing that we've done is about 2-3 years ago, we knew that uranium could take off again because we had uranium mining in those northwest and southwest corners in the 50s, some all the way through the 70s. All that mining that was done was before we had any state mining laws. We had no mine reclamation laws. There was none of that on the books, and so a lot of those sites have not been reclaimed on our left, and I know they're a big concern to a lot of people. We looked, the price of uranium had sunk way, way down. It was like, $10-$30 a pound or something. And it started increasing. It was gone all the way up to like $140, and now it's back down again. But when it was on that increasing trend, we we knew we have uranium deposits in the state, and so we looked at our mine laws, we looked at our regulations to say, if uranium development ever comes back to South Dakota, are we going to be ready for it? And we brought a bill to the legislature, I think it was Senate Bill 62, either 2 or 3 years ago, that gave us then certain authorities to go back and address new regulations on especially what's called in situ mining, which is what PowerTech is ultimately looking at if their exploration pans out. In situ mining simply means instead of digging a big hole and taking the ore out, that you instead, if this is your formation down here that holds the uranium, they drill holes and they inject in something to turn that uranium into solution, and they've got other wells that extract the solution and the uranium's taken out up on the surface. And we've never seen that kind of mining here in South Dakota. It has occurred in other places. Nebraska, for example, has an in-situ uranium mine, but we've never done it here. So we looked in that bill, we asked the legislature to give us authority to be able to make sure we're ready for that kind of development that occurs here in South Dakota. For the last 2 or 3 years, we've redone what's called our underground injection control regulations. That's actually some federal requirements under the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act to make sure that whatever they're injecting down here doesn't impact drinking water supplies. We've redone those rules. We've also redone our mining rules to make sure that, again, we have regulations to set up to protect public health and the environment from that type of development that occurs. So we think we're ready. If PowerTech, which is, again, the company that's doing the drilling now, if their exploration project pans out, they will have to make application for at least those two state permits from us. There's also some federal permits that they're going to need. They're going to need a federal underground injection control permit from EPA. They're going to need a license from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So there's a lot of steps for them to go through if their exploration pans out and if they decide to.
Any other question from the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Secretary Perner.
Mr. Chairman, I'll simply close by saying that over in the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, we have, an excellent staff. We've got engineers, scientists, geologists, hydrologists, and an excellent support staff. If we can help you folks in any way, if you have questions, we can try to get you the answer. We'll certainly try to do so, and please ask us as your session. That. Thank you for the opportunity to appear here today, and see you later.
Thank you, Secretary Perner. Well, that concludes the action items on the agenda for the Senate Ag Committee. Are there any announcements or anything from the committee? If not, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Hansen, seconded by Senator Bradford. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting is adjourned.